Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about a hot topic, I tell you. We've been talking about authority. Without understanding God's authority, your soul will never be where it's supposed to be. We need to understand what we're talking about today. Because when you understand this, your soul is going to be super. Super means above the natural. And that's what our souls need to be. That's the saving of our soul. So this is what we're going to talk about today. You can't understand this and it not change your life. This is really the key to having a healthy soul. Now think about this. You know, you heard Ryan saying, you know, Jesus is calling, singing that song. That's what's going on. He calls all of us. See, when we're born into this world, we're born in sin. You know that? We're born into this world, we're born in sin. Actually, we're separated from God when we're born into this world because of the sin of Adam. So everybody's born in sin. And the wages of sin is death. The word death means separation from God. So when we're born into this world, we're born in sin, separated from God. So what happens is now we need to be born again. And when we're born again, spiritually, we repent of our sins, we invite Christ in our heart, and now we're born again. Now we're in a position to hear from God. You see that? And we're to hear from God the will for our life and the purpose for our life. And He calls us through His Word, through helping us to see. He wants you to get His perspective. You see that? He wants you to understand His perspective and see yourself the way He sees you. And when you begin to see yourself the way He sees you, you begin to see other people the way He sees them. And now you can understand how to treat people that are mistreating you. And you can still give them kindness and love, and then they're not going to bother you anymore because you're secure in who you are. You see that? But that's only when you understand what we're going to talk about today. You have perception. See, God calls you. He calls you with His Word. The word vision means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. So when you hear God's Word spoken over you, He's calling you and He's uncovering an area in your life that He wants to redeem. He wants to show you an area in your life that He wants to redeem. Back to what God deems the most important and the most valuable for you to fulfill His purpose and to know your identity, who you are. You see? You can't even be you without the gospel. You can't even become, you see, if it's not from the gospel, you're trying to be something else. You can't be you. You can't get your calling wrong and get life right. Let me say that again. You can't get your calling wrong and get your life right. Think about this. He calls you. You see, remember when we're born into this world, we're born in sin. You're actually in contradiction to God, psychologically, sociably, spiritually, and physically. All those areas of your lives are out of sync with God. Now, He calls you, and then those areas, psychologically, sociably, spiritually, and physically, begin to come in alignment with His will. And His way. And you begin to enjoy life Because you are discovering who you are. You can't find out who you are from anybody else but God. He's your creator.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I don't care what your parents did or what someone said about you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And when you understand this, what we're talking about today, this authority piece, there is no way you can understand this and not enjoy your life. When you understand it, you see, now you start seeing people the way God says. God wants you to see them. He wants you to change your perspective. Remember, precept is a before thought. We talked about that last week. A precept is God. David said, if it were not for your precepts, I would have went astray. Precept is a before thought. So now I'm getting the thoughts God had for me before I was even born. And now they're becoming my concepts. And as they become my concepts, they become precepts. And now they're precepts. Percepts, then it becomes exception. Now what comes out of me is exceptional. And now I can have a reception. Celebrate. See that? Perception. You can't have reception without perception. See, if you can't see it, you can't be it. If you can't see the problem, you can't solve the problem. You can only find out from God. He shows you, and then he gives you the free will to make the choice. See that? You can make the choice either to obey him and work on that, or stay in your mess and have everybody join in with you. You see that? In your mess. But God's calling you. You catching this? Listen, God's calling puts demands on your deficiencies. I'm going to say that again. God's calling puts demands on your deficiency. See, when you understand that you have these deficiencies, then you'll welcome his word. It says, 1 Corinthians 13:6, love rejoices in the truth. And so if you're really in the love of God, you welcome that word to come because it's going to help you in your deficiency. And you're going to become a better you. Listen, you can't become you without getting those precepts from God. See, what happens is you try to be something else when you're listening to everybody else that you're not created to be. God can't put his authority and his blessing on your life if it's not real, if it didn't come from him. Did you get that? God can't put his blessing and authority on your life if it's not from him, if you're not authentic. He will not bless anything that's counterfeit. This is what God is calling you to. When we just understand what I just said, we ought to really be pursuing God and finding out more about his authority and how to live our lives. Am I making sense? All right. So now, let's go to our vision to build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, vision, a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. See, that's what you're going to get here. That's what's going to happen. Redemptive. Remember, I told you last week, God could care less about your comfort. He doesn't care about your little snuggies and your Afghans and all your pillow stuffed furniture and all your little nookies hanging on the wall and your little keepsies. He could care less about that. All your comfort. He cares about your redemption. Amen. And he's committed to your redemption. He's committed to fix what he didn't break. So, give me Romans 13:1-2. Let's read this. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. All right. We're just going to stay with, just go back to the first one. Go back to number one. Okay. So, we've been looking at this, this area of authority. And so, we got to understand. Because when we don't understand, we're always doing things outside of His will and His ways. Are we making sense? So now look at this. He says, let every soul, your soul is what you live out of. Your soul is the part of your life you live out. You're made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is a spiritual part of you that you live out of. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. See, your mind is not your brain. I used to think my mind was my brain, but it's not. Your brain is just an organ that connects with your mind through your soul. So you can communicate. That's why people who have Alzheimer's, they're inside there, and they still have a soul. They just can't communicate because their brain is not functioning. The eye is the window of the soul. See, you're in there looking out. See that? So we need to understand our soul. The word soul is the word psuche in the Greek language. And that's where we get the word psychology and psychiatry. From this word soul. Psychology is the study of the soul. Psychiatry is the treatment of the soul. You hearing that? So, but we need to understand God's established authority when we really understand our soul. When we bring it under His authority, now our life begins to flourish. See that? Now, think about this. He says, let every soul be subject. The word subject means to be under the will of another. To be under the will of another. We're to be under God's established authorities. Now, think about this. There's civil authorities. That would be the government. President, Vice President, the Senate, civil authorities. And then there's social authorities. That would be coaches, teachers, bosses at your workplace. And then there's family authorities. Family authorities would be the man is the spiritual authority in the house. And the woman. See, the man, the woman submits to the man, and the man submits to the woman. When you have two people that understand that, you have paradise on earth because you're under God's authority. And He will let you know that you have that. And you are going to experience joy unspeakable in that relationship. Because you know why? If you don't see your wife and you don't see your husband the way God created it, it becomes eclipsed. And you don't see it right. And if you don't see it right, you'll abuse it. And you can't solve a problem you can't see. So we need God to get perception so we can see inside us. Because I have things that are hurting me. You have things that are hurting you. That you don't know anything about. You need God to show them to you. And He'll show them to you through His relationship and through you getting those precepts. Now that perception. Oh, I can make a change here. See that? And I can become what God, He's asking me to be. I'm going to see, I see my wife now. I'm here to serve. That's a princess that's up in my house. That's a king. That man is a king. I'm going to treat him like a king. I'm going to treat her like a princess. Am I making sense? I'm going to open the door for her. We go out on a date. We go out on dates every Friday. I open the door for Donita. Every time. Sometimes she said, you know, you don't have to do that. I said, no, I'm doing it. Because I understand what I'm talking about. It seems insignificant, but it's magnanimous. It's huge when it comes to you understanding authority. Please listen. This is huge. I can't tell you how big this is. So when we understand this, it changes the way you receive from those who are over you. See that? So what I tell you, we had civil authorities, we have social authorities, we have family authorities. And then we have church authorities. Oh, here we go. Church authorities are, you'll find in Ephesians 4, some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all come to the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God. See, they're given, they're over you and help you to understand the will and ways of God. God put them there to help you and assist you. You catching that? Now, I read something this past week from American Psychology. And I like stuff like that. And it's all these psychologists all over the United States. They got together and they said, you know, what is the word that describes the people coming into our office? And they were studying, they got all these people, and they started researching. And they said, they came up with this conclusion. This is the word. And, you know, as I was reading, I'm a word nerd. I love words. And so I came up with this word, and this is the word they came up with. Languishing. Languishing. Wow. Think about that. Languishing. Does everybody know what languishing means? I mean, you just don't hear that often. And, you know, I knew it wasn't good because it's connected with the word anguish, but I thought, I got to look that up. So I looked it up, studied it a little bit. This is what it means. This is the emotional state of over 80% of the people in the United States. This is the survey they did and study they did. American psychologist. Over 80% of the people are in this state. There is an epidemic of emotional struggling in America and a pandemic of an emotional problems in. There's higher people. There's more than they've ever seen taking depression medicine and taking medicine for anxiety and things people are going through. Listen to this. That's why this is significant. Listen to this word, languish. It means to become weak, feeble, fading, to wither away, to exist under miserable, disheartening conditions, to rot, to deteriorate. I thought, I can't even relate to that. I can't relate to that. The antithesis of that is to flourish. To flourish. I'm not languishing. No, not me. I looked over my life. I see where I am today. What am I going to languish about? I'm going to rejoice. You better watch me now. Think about this. I'm not going to be in languishing. I'm flourishing. Well, who do you think you are? Listen. The antithesis of languish is to flourish. To flourish. Listen to what flourish means. To live within an optimal range of human functioning. One that connotes goodness, growth, generosity, and resilience. That's the way we're supposed to be. That's the way you're created to be. Listen. To live within an optimal range of human functioning, one that connects goodness, growth, generosity, and resilience. And in the Hebrew, the word flourish means abundant fruitfulness. Abundant fruitfulness. The Bible says, in languishing is the state of their soul. Flourishing is supposed to be the state of our soul. The Bible says in Psalms 92, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. See, when you're planted, you're going to flourish. What's the word house? The family of God. When I am connected in the body of Christ, my soul is going to flourish. Amen. It's going to affect every area of your life. Every area. I'm flourishing. Amen. Come on, listen. This is huge. I need to slow down. Oh, help me. Now think. So if I'm flourishing, it says in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. One of the descriptive words for the word languish is wither. So when you're in him, you're producing fruit whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. See that? You're not going to wither. See, that's talking about the fruit you're bearing. The fruit you're bearing is eternal. It's going to last forever. Oh, did you get that? What you're doing is going to last forever. It's not going to wither away. So your children are going to be affected by the eternal. You're going to be affected by the eternal. Am I making sense? So, just say, I'm not languishing. I'm flourishing. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm flourishing. That's right. I'm going to flourish. Now, stay with me. I was watching the news, and I heard there was going to be this interview of these young people. And they had this on CNN. You know, I don't watch CNN all the time, so he watched CNN. But no, I watch Fox News. I'm a Fox boy. But now listen, I was watching this interview of these kids and young teenagers, and these teenagers were testifying these interviews. I'm intrigued by this stuff. And so they're saying that they're talking about their parents. Their parents had gone into the Capitol building that day and broke the door down, broke glass, and went in their offices and turned stuff up. The Capitol building. That's the government of the United States. And you're going to go in there? Are you catching this? You know what they were saying, these young people? They were crying, weeping on TV, on the news. I told my dad not to go there. My dad's a good man. I told him and told him not to go because I thought something wrong was going to happen. And then they come and they arrest him, and he's in jail now for indefinite time. They don't know how long he's going to be in there. People's mothers are in jail because they wouldn't listen to their own kids telling them not to go. You know what? They got their comeuppance. Oh, there's one for you. As I was watching it, they got their comeuppance. I'll spell it for you. C-O-M-E-U-P-P-A-N-C-E. Comeuppance. You know what comeuppance means? Retribution. They got what they deserved. Did you get that? That's what happens when you're not willing and you are going to take matters in your own hands. You will get your comeuppance. Are you hearing me? You can't be foolish and expect good to come out of it. And the Bible says it's a fool that will not take correction. See that? And doesn't want to receive counsel and take correction. It's foolish. And you see, what happens is you get people that get hurt. And so then they get off on this journey and they want to do things their own way. And they're going to take matters in their own hands. Huh? See, you're supposed to learn from hard knocks, troubles, and trials. That's how you learn and you ask God about your situation. And He gives you wisdom. He gives you the precepts about your life to show you what needs to be some work on. You catching that? Hard knocks, trials, and troubles reveal weaknesses in your life and deficiencies. If you ignore them, you'll get your comeuppance. It's inevitable. I use that word comeuppance because I don't want you to forget it. See, I got a little bit of x-ray on you. I understand words. Comeuppance. Say it one more time. Comeuppance. Okay. See, what happens is when things go wrong, you begin to blame others. Now you're in a difficult place because you're not willing to take responsibility for your life. When you blame others, that's called blame shifting. The Bible calls that foolish. That's foolish. When you blame others and you walk in self-justification, those are tools for fools. When you're always blaming other people, and you have self-justification. When we blame others, it's called blame shifting. And self-justification means you justify yourself. You can't justify yourself. So self-justification and blaming others are tools for fools. And God doesn't want you to be fooled. The Bible says in Proverbs 9, verse 7 through 9, when the wise person is rebuked, corrected, he gets wiser. He gets wiser. He listens and he makes an adjustment and he becomes a winner in life. You see that? That's what happens. When you understand and you get God's wisdom, then you'll make adjustments according to what He's asking you. And it brings life. It changes things.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.